Study, and we're going to talk about what this is, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Let me just read something to you. Here's a question. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you been immersed in the Spirit as you were immersed in the water at your water baptism? Do you remember your water baptism? How many of you were originally sprinkled? I was in the Lutheran church, and then when I got saved, I was baptized through the Southern Baptist Church. Let me tell you something, every part of me was baptized, was immersed, and that's the way the Baptists do it. Obviously, they're called Baptists, right? So you're going to get baptized, and I did, and I came up wet, had to change in the back there and then join the service. Well, we're talking about a phrase in the Bible called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the word baptizo means to be fully immersed. All right, so we want to establish that. Just as when you were water baptized, most evangelical churches believe in full immersion. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is a full dunking, so to speak, a complete getting wet with the Holy Spirit, not a portion of you. You're not sprinkled. You're not poured upon. You are completely immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now, many Christians confess to the experience of being dry in their Christian life. Would you be honest about that? I'm going to and say, sometimes I feel dry in the Christian life. Okay. Anybody else? There's three of us that sometimes feel dry in the Christian life. Okay. And it's true, isn't it? And what do you do with that? You know, sometimes it's something practical. You got that terrible flu, you know, you're laying in bed, and I don't think you feel really close to the Lord during that time. You probably feel more closer to the devil, right? That's probably a terrible thing to say. Because, you know, that's just how you feel. You just don't feel heavenly. You feel just the opposite. And it could just be something like that. It could be you're going through a depression. It could be something spiritual, though, as well. And we need to learn, what is this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some Christians just feel like they're trickling all the time with absolutely zero water pressure. You know, water pressure is really important, isn't it? Let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, and talk about water pressure. John 7, 37 through 39. John 7, 37. All right, and be prepared to jump around, obviously, with a topical study. I heard Bill's In the Life of David. What a great study, and what a great teacher Bill is. Aren't we spoiled? John 7, 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, he was very emphatic, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, anybody have Old King James? What does it say? Belly, the core, what do we say today? Your core. Will flow, what? Rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when was the Spirit poured out? On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And so here Jesus is talking about something that is very powerful. Now, the word, when it says here, out of your heart will flow rivers, it actually means torrents or gushes. All right? We had the flood problem with the Orville Dam, didn't we, this past winter? And man, that just has been such a political cause now. It still came up in the newspaper recently, and they're still investigating this. I mean, it was crazy, you know, the damage, and did the original Governor Brown, you know, Jerry had a father, right? Build this too fast, and there's all this debate, you know, going on. It should have been done better and so forth. Well, when water comes out like that, it wasn't just a trickle, was it? Wouldn't you say it was more like torrents or gushes of water coming through? You know, and water is very powerful. I can think of that in terms of just, you know, enjoying the beach and growing up, you know, here by the beach and loving to the surf and all and so forth. Power, I've been stupid and have been out in the surf during red flag when I shouldn't have been, you know, but I was just a dumb kid, you know, doing that and kind of was proud and never got rescued by a lifeguard, you know, but still I was really dumb. It was just the grace of the Lord that I'm living here today. But then I think about the handful of homeowners claims that I have had over the years with the different houses I've lived in have all been what? They've all been water related. Beautiful kitchen flooring, you know, just coming in and after a few days absence, you know, back into my house, and that kind of thing. And then we have the ensuing mold and, you know, things like that. It's like, oh man, there is power in water. There is power in water. I remember one summer I was in New Braunfels, Texas, and the river that flows through there is called the Guadalupe River. Okay? And it had been a real powerful wet winter season. And so when that happens, how is whitewater rafting? It's the best, but it's also the scariest. And half of our group fell out, and I almost drowned during that time. Also, a pregnant, there was a gal who was 5 months pregnant. Her husband rescued her, and then he found me, and he rescued me. So I've had a lot of experience with water, and a lot of that has just taught me respect. Respect for the power of water. You know, there's the light little, like when your sprinklers go on, you know, you go, oh, look at that. You know, it's just, they have all those control valves in there. And when you take your shower, when you run your kitchen water, you know, through your faucet and all, they have all those controls and everything. You know, there's that nice part of it. But see, that's all just being controlled. Your water pressure that comes in through the city where you live is really high. You have to have a regulator to dumb it down to give you more of a softer flow, or else all your pipes would burst and you would have a major, major damage problem. But we're talking about a powerful force from God, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. And Jesus equated the Holy Spirit with what? What was that symbolism that he used? Water. That out of your belly, wherever you would go, would not just be a trickle. We have too many trickle Christians that are lacking power to reach this world and saturate this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, out of your belly will flow torrents, rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, some Christians think they need to get more of the Holy Spirit when in reality, the Holy Spirit is getting more of you. Am I right? Now, probably the best book outside the Bible on the baptism of the Holy Spirit is written by Pastor Chuck Smith called Living Water. Has anybody ever read that book? Okay, a few. Get it. Get it through Amazon, Christian booksellers, which is CBD.com, or just simply Amazon. It's called Living Water by Pastor Chuck Smith. It is the best discourse in plain language on the Holy Spirit. And he has a classic example in there concerning the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So you put a glass out on a table and you have the water pitcher. Remember those old pitchers with all the ice in there and everything? Okay. And you know how it is sometimes when your server comes to your table, they can serve it right through the spout. But since there's ice, sometimes they pour it sideways. Man, if I tried that, everybody would get wet. But I don't know how these servers do it, you know. And so first they put the glass down, all right? There describes a person that is devoid of the Holy Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit inside that person because they are not what? They are not born again. John 3:3 says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And so people who don't know Jesus are empty, aren't they? Don't they try to fill it with different things? And it's not going to work, right? It's not going to work. And they end up just being empty, empty, empty. When you get saved, you know, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Now picture that water being poured into that glass. It's like, wow, I'm saved, I'm born again. How many of you remember the day that you were born again, that Jesus came in your life? Let me see by a show of hands. Okay. Now, why can you remember that? Because it was completely life-transforming. That's why you're here tonight during this Bible study. You know, you're getting fed. You come to Pastor Bill's Bible study on Sunday nights. You could be doing a lot of things right now. Wouldn't you love to be home right now doing laundry? But you're right here, right? And some of you guys came to church this morning. I mean, amazing. And you just want more. Why? Because water is satisfying, isn't it? You know, we're constantly buying these water bottles. You know, I grew up without all those water bottles. I don't know what happened. Why do we now have to have all those plastic water bottles? Now we have to start a recycling program, right? I mean, they're everywhere. They're in my car. They're all over the house. And I always forget them. I drink a few sips, and I go out and put them on my workbench out in the garage, and 5 days later, there's all the little floaties in there. And you know, I have them in the back of my car and so forth and so on. Wow, we need that water. So when you're born again, the water is inside of you, inside the cup, right? Now, what's the description of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's when that server, starts talking to you, maybe looks over, and doesn't stop the water. What happens? Have you ever had a server spill on you? I think we've all had that, you know. Here, want some more iced tea? You know, no, not all over my lap. I'm sorry. I am too, because I feel really wet right now. And so there's that picture of the water coming into that glass, and it overflows. And for us who are at a restaurant or something, or at home, it's like, oh, cleanup time. This is not good. But for us who are Christians, we're just going, man, the more, the better. Why? Because it's all about hydration. You know, just as the human body suffers dehydration, some of us don't even know that. Have you ever, like, taken a glass of water and you just kept drinking and had to drink more? What did you tell yourself? I must have been what? Dehydrated. I can't believe this. I just keep drinking and drinking and drinking. Man, I can't believe it. I guess I should have had more water throughout the day, or I just had a busy afternoon shopping or doing these different things and I forgot to hydrate myself. And how do you feel after that? You feel great. You just feel stronger and better and more healthy. It's like, wow. And this is the experience of the Holy Spirit coming not just in your life, but overflowing your life, giving you that beautiful flow that only He can give to reach this world for the Lord. Let's go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. We're right there in the vicinity. Just go to your right, Acts 1, 4 through 8. Acts 1, 4 through 8. And Jesus, this is prior to His ascension. So this is after His death and resurrection. Acts 1, 4, being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water." So there's the water thing again, and look at the association now of the water with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit with water. "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And that's going to be 10 days, a week and a half. Next chapter, chapter 2, you guys were right, you said it right. It was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. "John baptized, fully immersed you with water, but you shall be baptized, fully immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive" what? "Power when the Holy Spirit has" what? "Come in you?" No. "Come upon you." See, it's upon you. You are already saved. The Holy Spirit is in you. This is a beautiful experience where the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be what? "Witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What a beautiful promise from the Lord, which they will receive in 10 days. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. I told you I'd be flipping around. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. Now we're going to distinguish between the first time the Holy Spirit comes inside of you when you're born again to this experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were" what? "Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And just like people used to seal letters with candle wax, they used to seal scrolls with wax, and people would use their ancient rings and monograms and so forth. It's basically saying, "This is mine. This is mine. This is my monogram." This would be like M for Monteith, you know. So it means, "I own you. This is my purchase property." When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you become purchased property. And what was that purchase made from? The blood of Jesus Christ, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit now, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. That means when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you are born again, you are the Lord's until He comes and takes you home. Remember the old Kmart layaway program? My mom was just complaining about Macy's going out by her house down in Murrieta where she lives. And, you know, the old-fashioned layaway program, remember when you would do that? And it's like, "Man, I want this." And for gals, it could be that beautiful, you know, coat Or for guys, it could be the Sears tools, right? The Craftsman tools or whatever. It's like, I can't afford it, but I really want this, you know. And you would go in and make that those initial payments, right? But it was basically yours. See? It was yours. There's a down payment placed upon us. When we are saved, we are the Lord's possession. And we are guaranteed heaven. Jesus will come and take his bride home. Amen? He's not going to leave us down here. You know, I just read in the Orange County Register today, and it talked about Osama bin Laden has a son now. He's in his late 20s who's taking over after him, and he's the new voice and face of Al-Qaeda. Isn't that something? We thought they were just going to float away, and now it's just ISIS. Well, guess what? They are rebirthing Al-Qaeda with a new, younger face. And, you know, he is now empowering people to just go out and do the same old things like his dad used to do. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have that guarantee that the Lord will take you home and take you out of here. And then what? You haven't seen anything yet. Bill's taught the book of Revelation, hasn't he? About prophecy and all those judgments that will come down. And ISIS and Al-Qaeda, it's just the beginning. But the Lord will take us home. Isn't that comfort? Because isn't it getting tough, brothers and sisters? You know, it's getting really, really tough. I was doing a return at a store. And you know how it is. You walk in the store and you go off to the side and, you know, you hope. Hopefully you have your receipt or whatever, and it just came out, you know, about the Lord. I don't even know what it was to this young gal, and she said, "Yeah, I'm not really close, you know. I just keep going back and forth, you know." And I go, "You know what? I think you speak for a lot of us. We struggle because it's so tough to follow the Lord, isn't it? Because there's so much strength out there of the dark side. And that gravity, that barometric pressure is so strong. It just presses upon you." And so I said, "Lisa, I'm going to pray for you," because I like to look at people's name tags and use their personal name. I said, "Lisa, I'm going to pray for you." She said, "Thank you very much." You know, it was just really a God moment, you know, when you connect with people and to know that she is struggling. I'm struggling. We're all struggling in our own ways, aren't we? And we need the Holy Spirit. We need that hope that Jesus is going to come get us. But not only that, what can we do until he comes? We need fresh power to love and serve the Lord. Because we are tempted and we're tried, and if you live long on this earth, and the longer you do live on this earth, you just see what can happen. And the disappointments and the setbacks that the younger people have no idea about and what's going to be coming later on in life. But man, how we need the Holy Spirit. 4 years ago, my wife had an MRI. She had terrible tinnitus ringing in the ear. And it was getting worse and worse. She said it's like a heavy metal concert, just guitar solo constantly. You know, Jerry would like this, up at 10 volume. So an MRI nailed it. It was an acoustic neuroma on her left auditory nerve. She had to have brain surgery. They bore through her skull here in the back to extract the tumor and left her with 4 invisible disabilities. When you look at her, you wouldn't tell. I've learned a lot about disabilities through her, and I've learned about the term invisible disabilities. Just because someone doesn't have a white cane or sunglasses on or is in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they're not handicapped. My wife is handicapped. And it took us out of the full-time pastoral ministry where I was pastor of Calvary Chapel in Norco for 21 years. We started that church. And we had to leave because of health reasons. But you know what it did? It pushed us into full-time missionary work. We're now missionaries. We're missionaries to missionaries. We travel and we encourage missionaries all over the world. We're getting ready to take an RV trip across the nation. This is what we're going to do. We encourage servants of the Lord. But what I've learned in the last 4 years is a lot. If I didn't have Jesus, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit and His strength, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where Cheryl would be. It's only been because of the power of the Holy Spirit keeping us. Jesus said He would keep us in John 17. And He prayed to the Father, "Father, I pray that You do not take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one." A lot of us have prayed that we could leave and be with Jesus because of maybe a sickness or a disappointment or something precious that was taken away from you. And it's like, Lord, you know, I think in one sense, Paul says we groan in the Spirit because we just want to be home. You ever get homesick as a kid? It's like, man, you thought, oh, I'm going to go to my aunt's house in Lincoln, Nebraska. And you got there, it's like, I want to go home right now. And I've got a whole week you know, to get back home. We want to be with Jesus. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's get into this more. What are three results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, some of you are note takers, so you're going to like this. There's 3 points. Number one is power. You're going to receive power to serve the Lord. Back in Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall receive what? Power." And remember what that word is for power? It's dunamis in the Greek, where we get our word what? Dynamite. Dynamite. We need power to effectively serve Christ. Let me say that again. We need power to effectively serve Christ. Do you want to serve Christ? Then we need to do it effectively. And we need power. You know, have you ever had these things where, you know, you bought these power tools and then you also, you know, kind of that you plug in, but then you started buying the battery pack ones because you like more mobility. Hate that cord, right? But what usually happens to all that? You lose power and you go to use something and it's like, oh man, I have this screwdriver, this power driver out of my garage, and the battery, it just never works. I mean, the thing is pitiful. I should just throw it away. So you know what I've been doing lately? Getting back to the good old plug-in. And that thing is powerful. Go right through the wall. And I think that there is a difference in some Christians because they're not plugged in. They're on like that battery. And the battery is down to just a trickle. Where God wants us to be plugged in. He wants us to have that power. Have you ever tried to be a witness for the Lord, but you lacked the inspiration to do so? You ever feel like you were just a leaky squirt gun? You know? Instead of really, really having that power of the Holy Spirit. Talking about water pressure, you know, I had a problem with that on my front lawn last year. I could not get the right water pressure. I replaced a lot of sprinklers, and I felt like my theory was I had too many sprinklers on the line. You're supposed to have so many sprinklers for each channel because I have those automatic sprinklers. So I replaced all of them, and it still was just like, bleh, bleh. And you could just tell on that area of my lawn, it was just dry. And so one time I was walking across the lawn, and the lawn was dry because in the middle of the day, but just this one place, there was this moisture thing going on, and water like came up around my shoe and everything. I was like, no, it can't be. You know what it was? A broken sprinkler. And the grass had grown over it. And so I thought, man, you know, I got to fix this thing. I don't want to get too wild and make a huge hole, you know, and overdo it. But I got down in there, and sure enough, I found that broken sprinkler and replaced it. And guess what? The thing was like going crazy with water pressure. Man, I was getting my neighbor three doors down. His window's wet. No, just kidding. And see, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I was not saved. Our family was not saved. But I loved Sunday school, and it was a great church. And but we were never just taught the way of salvation, that you must be born again. So my brother, as a teenager, got saved through the Southern Baptist Church. And so we went to his baptism. So here's this Lutheran family sitting in a Baptist church watching him get baptized, my brother, and we all felt something we've never felt before. We felt the Holy Spirit. My dad would watch Billy Graham crusade on TV and he would feel something, but he never knew what that was, just some kind of tug, you know. But he felt that again in the church. We started going back and we all got saved. And it was a beautiful thing. We answered that altar call. Every Baptist, Southern Baptist church, you're going to have an altar call, right? Started going to church Sunday morning. Always had a Sunday evening service. Always had a Wednesday midweek with the dime a dip, you know, potluck before and so forth. Best food in town because it's all Southern fried. This is a Southern Baptist church. Preacher was from Texas. And what a wonderful, wonderful experience we had in the Lord. Do you know what? I fell away from the Lord, and so did my brothers. And my mom and dad were just so distraught. It was that horrible time of the late 60s, early 70s, that whole hippie thing, you know. And my parents lost their three boys, all three of us, to the world. And we stopped going to the church. And, you know, I was out there in the world. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my life. And I just ended up, like you always do without the Lord, at a dead-end street. And without anything, without a Harvest Crusade, without a person leading me or what, the Holy Spirit started drawing me back. And I rededicated my life to the Lord, not even in a church. I was in my bedroom. I believe God can use altar calls. I originally got saved through an altar call. I believe He can not use one. And there's the draw of the Holy Spirit. I went back to the church. My friend's mother was going to a church in Anaheim by Disneyland called Melodyland Christian Center. How many of you have heard that church before? Pastor Ralph Wilkerson. Ralph and Arlene, just a great, wonderful couple, Assembly of God background, started this Christian center, became worldwide, especially in the charismatic way. And my friend's mom literally snuck me over there because she was also from that Baptist church. And they taught us in that church not to go over there because bad things can happen. Well, guess what, folks? Really great things happened to me because I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it was an amazing experience. I don't like to talk about experiences, but, you know, it was just a great experience. But more than that, it was a reality of the power that I had now to serve the Lord and to be all for the Lord. And that week, I led 4 of my schoolmates to the Lord. Started carrying my Bible right on top, proud to be a Christian in a good sense, you know, identifying with Christ. What made the difference? It was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Whereas before, I had the Spirit in me, but I was never taught the experience, the reality, the Bible truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power that Jesus said that would come upon you to be witnesses for Him. And I had a boldness I never had. I could speak for the Lord, speak up in class. We started organizing Bible studies on campus, finding Christian teachers to host us. Times when we were thrown out, you know, because church and state, you know, you can't have Bible study. So we went out to the grass area and witnessed for Christ out there. I'm telling you, there is a difference, brothers and sisters, and maybe this is what the Lord is creating in you and in me, especially in these last days, that thirst for the Holy Spirit, the hydration that we need, because these are intense days, and when you're in the battle, you need a lot of water. You need a lot of nourishment. With everything that you and I are going through, Satan is trying to take us out, isn't he? Through all of these things, we have enough problems. It's like, who cares about ISIS and all these other crazy problems in the world? All these school shootings and this and that. It's like, oh, Lord. But guess what? I've got war in my own life. I've got war in my own family. I got issues and stuff going on, and I have issues inside of me. So what's going to make me strong in these last days? I need that hydration of the Holy Spirit. I need that power to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Secondly, is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, to be a witness. You'll receive power to be a witness for Christ. And number two is the fruit of the Spirit. We can't neglect this. Let's go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And just remind ourselves about the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you guys have them memorized? How many are there? 9. There's a reason why I'm bringing that up. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, is what? What's the first one? Love. And what would Paul say later on in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? He'd essentially say the same thing, right? What's the greatest thing? What's the greatest power on earth? Is it ISIS? What is it? It's love. Okay, it's number one, which fits in what? With everything Jesus taught. To love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. What's the second fruit of the Spirit? Joy. Isn't that a great thing to have in our lives? Can you still have joy when things aren't going very well in your life? Oh, yeah. See, the world's into happiness, which is basically, you know, money in the bank, good health, and your kids are doing good at school. You know, it's circumstantial. You take that away, what happens? I lost my happiness. See? But joy's always there. What's the happiest letter that Paul wrote? Where was he writing from and what did he say? From prison, and that little book is called what? The Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord what? Always, and again I say, rejoice. And so, For Paul, his joy was not contingent upon circumstances. I mean, do you have the perfect life right now? Have you ever had it? You might say, well, there's pockets of times, Pastor Louis, and I would agree with you. There's pockets of time here and there where maybe, you know, there was a lack of a cessation of turbulence in your life and things were going pretty good. But overall, I mean, chronicle your life. It's going to look like the Dow Jones Standard Poor, you know, chart. Up and down, right? But you can always have what, no matter what happens. But it's a choice, isn't it? Third is what? Peace. Peace. And the peace that you can have, what? No matter what you're going through, you can still have peace. You ever told yourself when you're going through a heavy trial and tribulation, I should be freaking out right now, but I feel like what? The Lord's incredible peace. You could cut it with a knife sometimes. I remember when Cheryl, early on in our marriage, she had thyroid cancer. Yeah, we've been through it, you know. And she had a thyroidectomy down at Scripps Institute down in San Diego. And I remember being down there, and everybody was so worried because Cheryl was so young, and oh, to have this so young and everything, it's what a shame, you know. Such a vibrant young lady. And people were like so concerned about us and driving down there, which we appreciated and so forth. But we had the fruits of the Spirit. We had a peace that we couldn't believe. I mean, it was thick. It was amazing. And we ended up counseling people around us about worry. Isn't that something? When they were so full of love to drive down there and be with us. Some of them even got hotels because of surgery early the next morning. And we had the peace. And then long suffering, of course, which is just patience, where you just keep having patience, patience, patience for that person, for that boss, for that health situation, whatever it might be. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these amazing things that the world does not have. And man, when you manifest these things amongst the non-believers, it's a beautiful, attractive force for Christ, isn't it? It's like bees to honey. I'm telling you, it is so amazing what the fruit of the Spirit does. And so people who say, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm baptized in the Spirit, you know, I have all these gifts and all, and yet you don't have love? And you don't have these beautiful characteristics of Christ? I mean, really? You know, to say that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to shake a fist in the camera because of your faith teaching or whatever, you know, and make people feel guilty because they don't have enough faith. Come on, man. Where's the love? Wouldn't you say that these fruits of the Spirit are very well manifested by our pastor, Mark Bowe? Have you ever... he's not here because he hates to be praised. I'm not praising him. I'm praising the Lord. But it's so amazing. You know, when we limped back in here last August and started attending, this is my home church. I'm an Anaheim boy. It's my original church and sending church. The love that we received from Pastor Mark and Sherry and Bill and Terry and all the staff and the flock here. And so amazing, so healing. And what's one thing you can say about Mark? He represents all nine fruits of the Spirit, doesn't he? And he's the real deal. Pastor Mark's a real deal. He really is. And what an example. We always need those examples to follow. Well, the third thing, consequence of being baptized in the Spirit, will be the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Go back to your left. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And let's talk about briefly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. These are supernatural enablements that we need in our lives to serve the Lord and to, you know, do the Father's will, to minister to others. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Having that faith. And I've seen that faith in Pastor Mark all through the years. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. How many of you have been healed before? The Lord has touched your body. Amazing. Amazing. A lot of healings. A lot of history of healings. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, you know, speaking the word of the Lord, like Pastor Mark talked about this morning. To another, discerning of spirits. And that's cool, isn't it? You ever heard some wacky teaching? It's like there's, I remember this one guy on TV who was on Christian TV, and I mean, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, he knows, I praise God for it. But this one guy was like, I just feel funny about this guy, you know. And I don't want to judge, you know. But yeah, later on, man, everything was a segue to money and asking for money. I said, oh, man, that's not the Lord. The Lord had given me what? Discernment of spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. Just speaking in that language that you have not learned. To worship and praise the Lord, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so these are gifts that we need, that the Lord has for us, so we can serve the Lord and do what? God's work, God's way. Let's go to Zechariah 4, 6 and 7 in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. At the end of the Old Testament is the prophetical book of Zechariah. Chapter 4, you're going to recognize this verse, Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Let's say it together. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let's say it again. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know, doing God's work, God's way, is a necessity in the Christian life. Have you ever just tried to serve the Lord in your own power? You know, in your own way? And so often it's just the way it is. What do we need? We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to help us serve the Lord in that ministry he's called us to. And remember, the number one ministry is just loving the Lord. Amen? And then loving your family, because that's the first ministry. If you can't serve and love your family, how can we reach the world for Christ? And it gets tough sometimes, doesn't it? You know, to be patient and loving for the family members. To do God's work, God's way. Have you ever just striven in your flesh, in your own power, to try to accomplish something in life? It could be your own business that you're trying to get off the ground or whatever. Or in that marriage. It's like, man, it's not going on. I got to read more books and go to the seminars and try a little bit harder. And really, it's the Spirit that wants to work in us, to give us the power to love that spouse, to raise those kids, to care for that aging parent, to work that job, to deal with health problems, to incessantly deal with financial problems. What keeps us from going bonkers? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by our might. The world says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The Lord just says, man, pray, receive the Spirit in your life, I will give you the power to do what I've called you to do. And most effectively do that. And it's amazing when you operate like that. I have said that you can do the work of 10 people if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. In yourself, in your own power, you can do the work of less than one. You are the best you, the most powerful you, when the Holy Spirit is upon you. And you can just go out there and, like the kids say today, rock for the Lord. Amen? We can rock for the Lord. And to overcome the different things that we struggle with. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And we can put pot in there or whatever, you know. People say, well, it's legal now. Not just Colorado anymore, but it's also legal in California. Doesn't mean it's right. You know, going back to the old ways, well, it's legal now. Doesn't mean it's right. Do not be drunk with wine or whatever intoxication in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, drugs and alcohol, they're just a cheap substitute, aren't they, for the Holy Spirit. When the greatest high is what? Is Jesus Christ. Because you'll never come down and you never have to worry about a hangover. The Holy Spirit gives you the afterglow. Why do you feel so good driving home after church? Because the presence of the Lord is upon your life. You've been with God's people. You've been in the Shekinah presence of the Lord, like Jerry sang about tonight. And we carry that glow like Moses coming down from the mountain, except we don't wear out, do we? The Holy Spirit doesn't wear out in these New Testament days. So we'll shine for Jesus tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's Memorial Day. Well, we need to shine for Jesus on Memorial Day, but we'll shine for Jesus after a three-day weekend as we go back to work or school or whatever. And so notice how the Holy Spirit is in the same verse here as being drunk. See, the drinking. When you're satisfied with Jesus, He's going to help you overcome addiction problems. People who struggle with addictions. And there's so many. How can people be set free? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, to overcome a passion, you have to have a greater passion. Amen. To overcome a passion that's not right, you have to have a greater passion. You have to have a focal point, a complete, you know, beautiful target there, the bullseye. You've got to look at that. And then that's where your life is going to go. Just as they teach you in driving, look ahead and your car is going to follow. That focus on the Lord. And that passion for Jesus will help you overcome that addiction. Do you believe that? Do you believe that for your friends and family members that are struggling with some kind of addiction? What do we pray for? The power of the Holy Spirit to come upon their life. Let's go to one more verse. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Luke 11, 9 through 13. And it talks here about how do we receive the Holy Spirit? It's a way that, you know, would be the Lord's way to have this power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Luke 11, 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Do you love that? Simply what? Ask. Why? Because you're children of the Lord. Just ask your Father. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? It's hilarious, isn't it? I'm sure people laughed in the audience there. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? I hear chuckles amongst the crowd there in Galilee. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know, all the dads are going, no way, man. Ain't gonna happen. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you have to do is what? Is ask. Is that what you need? Is a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? Are you tired? Are you struggling? You've been asking the Lord lately, Lord, you're causing me to climb this mountain. That's way too much. Or I'm just going to die like those guys last week at Mount Everest. They found four guys in a tent, dead, up there at Everest. They didn't make it. Lord, this is too much for me. And this is why people go out and do the crazy things that they do. They need pressure relief. But we have Jesus. He's the power. He has promised not to give us more than we can handle. He will make a way of an escape. And God's grace will be sufficient for us. The times when we felt, with Cheryl's excruciating pain after her brain surgery, those cluster headaches, also called suicide headaches, speaks for itself. Every single night, sometimes twice a night, crying out to the Lord, Lord. And we couldn't even ask why, right? You don't even go there. You've got to trust the Lord during times like that. We know God loves us. We were taught at this church through Pastor Mark that God loves us. He loves us. So whatever happens to us comes from a loving Father, even if we don't understand. There's a lot of things about my life that I look back, I don't understand how it went, how it rolled. But that's not for me to assess, is it? You know, it'll all be settled when we're before the Lord up in heaven. It's all just going to be settled. And so what we need right now is just to ask the Father for the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that He will give us so we can keep going, brothers and sisters, in the Lord and do what He's called us to do. So by faith now, let's ask the Lord. Let's stand together and let's just ask by faith for the Lord to give us a fresh filling. Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's seek Him. He wants to answer the cry of our hearts and things that we've been talking to Him about and just wondering about. Let's give it all to the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You as Your children, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives. We know we're born again. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, Lord. But now we pray for that power so that we can be Your servants, Lord, just doing Your work Your way, and to share the truth of the gospel with a world that is so needy. We pray for the fruits of the Spirit. We don't want to be one of those grumpy Christians, Lord. We want to have the love and the joy and the peace and all those other fruits, Lord Jesus, at all times. We don't want to just grow old and get crabby. Fill us, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit to overcome our fatigue, our tiredness, our disappointments. Father, we just pray for that renewed joy in our lives. We pray for the gifts of the Spirit, that we would flow in the gifts, Lord, that we would have that discernment, that wisdom and knowledge, and that faith, Lord God, so that we won't be discouraged, that we can climb that mountain, Lord, and You'll make our feet like deer's feet to get us high upon that mountain. that we might tread in those heavenly places, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Power from on high to go from this place to serve you, to love you, to do your will, Lord. We pray for those who need to be replenished. We pray for times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, your Holy Spirit, to renew us right now, Lord God, that we could have out of our belly flowing the torrents, the gushes, to sweep this world, Lord, away to you. And we thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray. We have oil. If you're sick, whatever the need, we want to pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a great Memorial Day. Remember, freedom comes with sacrifice. So we thank the Lord for our soldiers, and we are thankful for Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price on that cross, that we might be set free. So enjoy that freedom in Christ as well. In Jesus' name, amen.